Well, it is good to be back. We are glad, and it's good to see Pastor Dan and Linda back too. It was hard to be away from them for such a long time. I've shared with you before, we are so blessed to be joined in ministry with them, and just to be back again. I saw Dan yesterday at our regional training, just hung on for a while. This is good. All right, well, we're doing this series, Just Walk Across the Room, during the month of May. It's a five-Sunday month, and as you know, of course, we were gone last week. And it's kind of messed up our momentum a little bit, but I'm encouraged because what we saw in the training yesterday was really exactly what we're talking about in this entire series. I was so fired up yesterday, I wanted to preach Saturday afternoon. Let's just get on with it. Let's go. It was so inspiring. I don't know about you, but ever since 2 weeks ago now, I've been kind of looking at people differently. Anybody relate to that? Are you a little more preoccupied with people these days than maybe you were? I saw one hand. Nodding heads sort of count. All right. Anybody else that got a little preoccupied with people? Yeah. Good. Interesting. Just a couple quick examples of what we experienced. Our neighbor, who I now have learned, kind of grew up in the United Methodist Church. She knew we were pastor and wife before we even moved in, and always kind of kept that topic out of the discussion. And so we respected that. But as she's heard a few things here and there, like the garage sale or the English class, she's gotten a little more interested, kind of warmed up on the topic a little bit. And right after this message 2 weeks ago, she caught Peggy and I outside and we were talking. And she got really very involved in a discussion about church and so forth. So it became an opportunity just to say, well, we'd love to have you come with us sometime. And just kind of leave it at that for now. So we'll see. In fact, while we were traveling also, having kind of had this perspective, we both read the book now, and we're just talking about it. We're at the airport, and a young Vietnamese man drops off his mother, who's headed back to Des Moines, which is where we were going. She had one huge suitcase that was way overweight, and another good size. You could see the deer in the headlights look on this poor woman's face. And I was very thankful what we have learned at teaching English, because it created a sensitivity immediately for us about the fear that this poor woman had. She had flown down, but was flying, but just had been, she's been down here for several weeks, apparently, even a few months, visiting her son. Well, she's headed back. She lives with her daughter in Des Moines. And as soon as she knew that we were, I mean, it's kind of like God arranged that, you know, that crossing of the paths right there, and she attached herself to us immediately, and then found out as we were boarding the plane that she was way in the front and we were in the back, and she went back into panic mode again, because like, oh, now the folks that were helping me, I can't rely on them. And we tried to help her understand, here's the number, when they say 8, that's the number you're in, and so forth. But God used that sensitivity just to help us reach out to her and to know that sometimes you show God's love by even small things, just helping her get a little bit of peace about this ride that she was going to take. And then she saw us when we deboarded in Des Moines, big smile. And we met another lady too who was just talking. She grew up in the same town that I was born in and knew about the Tulip Festival and all these kind of things. And God, you know, it's neat to have this kind of perspective refreshed for us. It's good for me, too. And I want you to hear, I'm not a professional evangelist, all right? I'm learning alongside of you, and I am encouraged that Bill Hybels would take the time, make the effort to put this stuff in a book. Their small group ministry put all this stuff together for us, so as a church, we can just be on the same page together. So this is good stuff. I'm very excited about that. All right. Again, why are we doing this? Because we want to point people to faith in Jesus. That is what is behind all of this. Yes, it gives us a chance to be effective in our neighborhood. That's very important to us. It gives us a chance to connect now with the entire eastern seaboard of the Free Methodist Church, to do what Pastor or what Bishop Roller has asked us to do, is reach people for Jesus Christ. So we see some incredible timing. Again, yesterday, the training. We, as a church, let me just encourage you, we are exactly where God wants us to be in terms of the study, in terms of our heart, our passion. Hearing Pastor Dan talk again about the multiracial, multicultural church, it's where it's at. Okay, I'm convinced that is how God wants to do church, and God is calling us to be that kind of church. And so when we see racial diversity in our congregation, it's a reassurance and an affirmation. God is saying, yes, you keep at it. Don't give up. Keep doing this. So that's what's behind all this. We're not just trying to grow a church for the sake of growing a church. It's not about that. All right? It's about a church full. Let's do 3-4 services because people are pouring out of this neighborhood and coming to know Jesus. Now, 2 weeks ago, let me get you kind of caught up a little bit, and some folks weren't here 2 weeks ago. Just a quick reminder. And we have, I think, on our next slide. Yes, excellent. We talked about that circle of comfort, and these are people. I explained my artistic lack of skill last time. I won't go over that. These are people. And when we're hanging out with people that we're comfortable with, people we've gotten to know, whatever, we tend to ignore the folks that are outside of that circle that may not know who the Lord is. And it's up to us to extend that hand of fellowship. And what we have to do is excuse ourselves from this circle of comfort, this circle of fellowship, and take a walk across the room. We talked about that. Now, being willing to enter, and it's great to hear Gordon and others talk about the zone of the unknown. The zone of the unknown is that place where we are going to meet someone we do not know. We don't know the person. We're going to meet them. We've left the comfort. We're going to the unknown. And this is kind of a scary walk. How do we decrease the fear? Number two, listen for the Spirit's promptings. Very, very important. I'm going to talk more about that again today. This effort we're involved in is completely Holy Spirit driven, dependent. If we're not connected, you just as well stay right here, because you're going to end up doing more damage than good by heading over here if the Holy Spirit hasn't directed you. For example, when we were with this woman, this Vietnamese woman, God did not one time. We were listening. We were talking about it. Should we say more? Should we do more? Holy Spirit did not tell us to say or do anything more than what we did. It's easy to want to jump that and try to get some kind of accolades when you're hanging out with your church buddies and say, well, yeah, I had a chance to share the gospel and do this and that. Did the Holy Spirit direct you to say? Well, no, but I decided to do it anyway. Don't. Okay? So We extricate ourselves from this circle of comfort. We take a Holy Spirit-inspired and supported walk, and we extend a hand of friendship to someone that we don't know. That is what we spent our time talking about in week one. Today, what we're going to do is kind of build on that theme. Once you decide to take that walk, then what? Then what? There are some questions that I think are very valid for us to raise. What do I talk about? What do I do? What do I pray as I'm taking this walk? So that's kind of be the focus of our week today. Well, what we're going to do is kind of summarize it on, is the next, I'm not even sure where I'm at on slides. Don't worry about it. You'll catch up to me. I may not be using my, Matt, just so you know, I may not be using my notes as much today as I probably should. But don't worry about it. We'll just kind of catch up where slides are. We're going to talk today, this process is, we're going to talk about it as 3D living. 3D, three-dimensional. Anybody watching the latest three-dimensional movies? Yeah? Kind of the craze these days, isn't it? In fact, I just read the other day that all movies are probably going to be 3D eventually. I don't know if that's the case, but who knows. 3D living, okay? The first one is develop friendships. Develop friendships. this mode, this people sensitivity thing that we're in right now is, and this is kind of the danger, and it's kind of a fear, I'll be honest with you, that we're going to do this for 4 weeks and then we're going to launch into something else and people are going to forget about this. This is the DNA right here. This stuff, this series, this month is part of the DNA of this church. We are going to be walk across the room Christians. Pure and simple. That's who we are. If that doesn't fit for you yet, that's okay. You're going to need time to kind of grow into this. I understand. Don't have a problem with that. If we get done with our 4 weeks and small groups and you say, I'm not interested in being a walk across the room Christian, then we've got a problem. Because this church, walk across the room people. Pure and simple. Fair enough? Make sense? Okay, we're on the same page? Excellent. Now, here's the thing. We've got to get in the habit now of being in these places of comfort and get in the habit of being in a search mode. Thinking. Here's another way to kind of put this. Get your emotional and spiritual radar, your evangelistic radar on. Flip this puppy on and leave it on. All right? When you're plugged into the power, you can leave that thing running, right? Amen? Amen. Amen. Keep your radar on. Make sure that you are constantly thinking about who's around me. Do I know these people? Is there someone God is speaking to me about? Right? So stay in that mode. Now, here's the problem. There's something that is working against this reaching out, keeping the radar on. And it's very fascinating because here's what happens. Now, let's just kind of take the next step. This person has been reached. They then have given their lives to Jesus Christ. So we're going to put this person over here. Now, as this person grows in this relationship with Christ, they grow deeper in love with God. Okay, go higher in that sense, however you want to look at that arrow. They grow deeper in that relationship with the Lord. They also grow deeper in love and relationship with people. Okay, that's how this circle of comfort gets formed. The fellowship is beautiful. Pastor Dan referenced it again this morning, watching during the time of the chat and chew. People are hanging out, growing closer together, growing deeper in love with each other, especially in small groups. That's exactly what we want to do, but there's a problem. There's a danger that is connected to this. At the same time that this is happening in this person's life, here's what happens. The love for people outside of the circle of fellowship and comfort actually decreases. That's a sad reality, but it's true. You've heard me talk about this before. The longer we are in the church, the longer we are in relationship with Jesus Christ, the more distant we get from people who are still in the zone of the unknown. That's one of the things that's fighting against our evangelistic radar staying on, staying at a high effective level. But there's even something a little bit more sinister than that. Let me take you back. Well, we can even do it based on today. But if I took you back to May 2 when I first introduced you to this, and I said something like, imagine now you're walking across the room, you're going to extend your hand to someone in this zone of the unknown. If I could have paused at that moment and kind of looked at the video tape that was running in your mind, who was the person you were extending your hand to? Somebody what? Somebody in your group. Absolutely. See, that's the unconscious power of this circle of comfort. As we've been talking about, as you've been reading the book, discuss it in your small groups, when you think about the zone of the unknown, who are you going to be extending your hand to? It's someone you're comfortable with. we begin to put limits and parameters on who I'm willing to reach. We do. There are boundaries around that. Absolutely. Here's the problem. Well, I'm jumping ahead. All right. Every human being has kind of like a secret list of people they don't like. We do. I see the smiles. I see the head shakes. I see the heads going like this. Okay. We all do. We have a secret list of people we don't like. And that can be a wide range of folks over all kinds of issues. Some people don't like those who smoke, and those who smoke don't like people who don't. That's just one. Some folks go, if you drink, oh, I don't want to be around you. Okay, those are some things. Others, we get so connected to things on this earth, we say, well, you know what, if you don't belong to the same political party as I do, I'm not shaking hands with a Democrat. I'm not shaking hands with a Republican. If you're not pro-life, I do not want to have a relationship with you. If you're willing to support abortion, you're a baby killer just like the rest of them. I don't want to have anything to do with baby killers. Are they on your list? Some of us don't like whole groups of people. There are white people who do not like black people, and there are black people who do not like white people. And we can go on and on and on with that. Every race has got an issue with the other race, based on stereotypes, based on generalizations. All of us have a list. And the list means I'm only willing to take a walk across the room to certain people. And they better be, and you fill in the blank, they better be nice. They better not hurt me. They better be safe. They better not take advantage of me. We all have a better be kind of mentality. We do. We do. They better be rich, or they better be young, or whatever the list is in our head. If we're going to be walk across the room Christians, we simply have to acknowledge this. You know what? This is a reality. In a sin-broken world, this is a reality. By the grace of Jesus Christ, I can take the list and get rid of it. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I need to show the love that God showed me. Irrespective of who it is God asks me to love. I'm going to make a very strong statement, but I believe it from the core of my being. And the statement is this. If we can't reach out to all people, then the gospel has no credibility. It's not on the outline. You might want to write that down. If we cannot reach out to all people with the love of God, with the love of Jesus Christ, then the gospel has no credibility. Why do I say that? Because God tells us very clearly in His Word, He is a God of love. He loves all people. Jesus died for everyone that ever took a breath on this earth. He didn't die for just a few folks. He died for everyone. If that is the gospel message, then we aren't just reconciled to God, we're reconciled to each other as well. The blood of Jesus doesn't just take care of this, it takes care of this. If we can't talk about that kind of gospel, folks, we just as well close our doors and stay home. We have zero credibility in this world. Because once somebody finds out that God loves all people, but we don't, Do you think we have a shot at reaching them for Jesus Christ? Not. Will not happen. Will not happen. We need to confess the better bees. We do. We need to confess these better bees. We need to confess the fact that we have a secret list. God will not tolerate prejudice in any form, folks. Every country on the planet has had to deal with these issues. Our country isn't the only one. But we better deal with it here, because we're not going to be effective for Jesus if we can't love all people. Make sense? Amen? Thank you for that back there. Thank you. Is that Jason? Yeah. Thank you for the amen. I think the next slide talks about three very interesting stories. Luke chapter 15. Remember these three stories? The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. The prodigal son, often said. The context for this story, the reason Jesus told these stories, is he was speaking in the marketplace. And he was talking to people that would be out here in that kind of zone of the unknown. They hung around Jesus. They were very interested in what he had to say, but they were on the list of the religious leaders of the day. These folks that Jesus is talking to are not the religious folks. They, I guess you kind of say, they've painted outside the lines. Let's just put it that way, all right? They didn't paint inside the lines. They slept in the wrong bed. They drank too much. Nasty language. All kind of things going on in their lives. And the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders said, if you do that kind of stuff, we don't like you. In fact, we even wish evil on you. You're on our list. And you know what? We feel very justified in that, because we believe that our list is the same as God's list. That's exactly how they saw it. Our list, our hate list, is the same as God's. God's got a hate list. And so Jesus, he hears all this. He sees what's going on. And so what does he do? He tells these stories to drive home the point. Guess what? God doesn't have a hate list. He doesn't. God does not have a hate list. So what does that mean? If I've got a hate list, I'm out of sync with God. See, those folks thought they were in sync with God. And it's very easy for us, when we say, better be, to think that we're in sync with God, and we're not. So Jesus tells this story. The implication, he loves everybody. He did not come to earth, give up his life. We talked about the walk that Jesus made across this entire cosmos. Jesus didn't take that walk for just a few people. He took it for everybody. So this 3D living, three-dimensional living that we're talking about means I'm willing to walk across the room to whoever you are, to whatever you've done, to whatever you think life is all about. I'm willing to walk across the room and extend a hand of friendship to you. I'm willing to do that. We were also challenged, Peggy and I, on Tuesday. Her last day of vacation was Tuesday. We were back Monday evening. She had Tuesday off. So let's go golfing. We haven't been golfing in a long time. And quite honestly, we prefer to golf together because we don't keep score. We're not competitive with each other. We play our best golf when it's just the two of us, because we're relaxed. We just are relaxed. We're having a great time. We get anybody with us, and we get performance anxiety and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it just isn't fun. So we pull up. They said, okay, go ahead. You're ready to go. We get there, and we hear some voices behind us say, hey, we've been told that we're supposed to play with you, and we were told that you could give us some really good golf lessons for free. Right. I am not on the golf course to be a walk across the room person. Yeah, that's the reality of it. God had other ideas. A few minutes after making the adjustment, Peggy looks at me and says, do you suppose this is a walk across the room opportunity? I suppose. Lord, come on. We're just here to have some fun. Leave us alone. You know, we're just, you know, come on. You never know. You never know. When we are willing to destroy the hate list, the will not walk across the room list, when we're willing to do that, what you will begin to do is discover the next two, and the next D, and that is discover stories. Discover stories. As we met with these folks on the airport, or in the airport waiting area there, we learned more about this woman who'd been dropped off by her son. She loved to garden. She was very concerned about her daughter, who has obviously acclimated to the American culture with a lot of busyness and a lot of stress. And she was concerned about her daughter. We learned from this other woman how excited she was to be going to a family wedding that weekend. As we listened to the folks on the golf course, we began to hear about a 98-year-old mother who they live in Tennessee. They go back and forth all the time. They don't just do the seasonal migration. they do the kind of as they need to take care of the mom. And the 98-year-old mom was my only bridge after 18 holes of golf to church. I said, really? Your mom's 98? I said, we have a 98-year-old woman in our congregation. Didn't go any further than that. Okay, Lord, we'll listen. Listening to the Holy Spirit is important, okay? But now we're talking about listening to this person. Listening for their stories. Here's the thing. In fact, I told the training folks yesterday, this stuff creates anxiety for us. It does. And especially, as we heard again yesterday, folks who are not pastors think that only the pastors are equipped to do this, which is a bunch of phooey. But the idea of being a walk-across-the-room Christian scares the pants off of most of you. And I can connect to that because when I was being trained to be a psychologist, starting my master's degree program, I was scared spitless. I'll tell you, I was highly anxious because I had the impression that once I sat down in a room with somebody, I had to be able to answer every question they had, address every kind of problem. I had to speak with wisdom and authority, and I was petrified. I was. But you know what I learned? It wasn't about what I knew. It was about listening. That's what it was about. Once I realized I could just listen, a lot of the anxiety and the stress and pressure was relieved. I just have to listen? I don't have to talk? Exactly. So I want you to hear that today. I'm going to be pushing you without embarrassment, without shame, without excuse. I'm going to push you. We are going to be a walk across the room congregation. Pure and simple. That's what we're going to be. Do I understand that that means some pressure for you? Absolutely. Absolutely it does. I want to relieve that pressure right now by saying it is not about what you know. It's not about how many Bible verses you've memorized. It is how good of a listener are you? Can you listen? Are you willing to listen to people? That is really the issue. Because as you listen to the person in that zone of the unknown, as you listen, you're going to hear some intersects between that person's story and your story. Anybody relate to what I'm talking about? A little bit? I know this is all kind of new, but maybe some of you have had these experiences. As you spend time listening to the person's story, and that's what happened on the golf course. As soon as I got that opening, he mentioned his 98-year-old mom. I knew right away I had an intersect right there. Okay? Listening. Listening. Again, this is where that Holy Spirit relationship for every believer is so critical. This is the foundation for being a walk across the room person. I'm listening through those promptings of the Holy Spirit. So, listening. Now, does that mean that you don't have to know more about and prepare? Yes, you do have to prepare. You have to prepare your story. You're going to have an opportunity to that in your small group. We spent some time doing it yesterday. It was good, even as a pastor, to sit back down again and think about that, because we don't necessarily think about it in intentional kinds of ways of telling our story. There are lots of facets to your story. You're going to learn about that in the course of this 4 weeks. You prepare your story, and then you simply shut your mouth and listen. Here's the problem. There are some of us who don't even want to hear the other person's story. We just want to talk. I want you to know my story. Right? Or some of us have learned that's a little rude. That's a little narcissistic. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask a question, and then as soon as I can, I'm going to shut them off, and I'm going to tell my story anyway. Right? It's all about me. I want to tell my story. Here's the thing. If you can't listen, do not leave your circle of comfort. Okay? Do the kingdom of God a favor and stay with the people who know you if you can't listen. Because you're going to end up doing more damage in the zone of the unknown if you aren't listening to the person and listening to God. All you're going to do is mess it up. Am I clear? I hear some yeses. That's good. I want to be clear. I want to make sure. This passion that God has for lost people is a passion that we should all have. I didn't have it at first as a Christian, but the passion has been growing in me over the years. It has. So I know not everybody's at the same level of passion about this that I am, but I expect at the end of 4 weeks you will be. That's not too much to ask, is it? 4 weeks? Is that enough? Oh yeah, I see some hearty soul. Yeah, 4 weeks I'll be there. Hoorah, yeah. All right. That's good. That's good. Where am I? Where am I here? Listening. Listening. We're going to see a videotape in a little bit about the power of listening. But it says a lot of things to people when we genuinely want to listen. When we genuinely ask questions of people, they feel valued. honored, respected. That's why it's so important to listen. If you don't have that connect with somebody and you start flapping your lips about your story, all you're doing is ticking them off and turning them off. That's all you're doing. You're nothing more than somebody that knocked on somebody else's front door uninvited. That's all you're doing. Okay, somebody comes to my door, I've told you this before, they come to my door and I didn't invite them, I don't open it. I don't want to hear what you have to say. And that's how it is. Right here. I don't want to know you or know what you have to say unless I feel respected, valued, honored. That piques my interest. Okay, we're building a bridge. We're building a bridge. That's good. That's good. One of the things that the Holy Spirit popped in my head yesterday, we were talking about this kind of stuff, and I said, we need to be forensic evangelists. Dr. Riley says, talk to me about that. What do you mean? And as I was listening to our conversation, I heard one gentleman talk about how he noticed a wristband on somebody's arm on the airplane, and this person had just gotten out of the hospital, and they were able to talk about the things they had in common about the hospital and cancer and things like that. I forgot. There were some other things like that that were being shared and discussed, and I got to thinking, anybody like NCIS or CSI, kind of the crime scene things? Yeah, we do too. NCIS is kind of our favorite. The crazy Abby Shuto, you know, the goth crazy girl, the forensic specialist, and we were just watching an episode the other night where they were in Mexico on some kind of special assignment, working on cold cases and all this. And anyway, she did this. Somebody was really being mean to her, and so she kind of put them in their place by noticing all kinds of things about this person. It's kind of like, whoa, okay, I guess I'll shut up and listen. And that made an impression on me as I listened to the discussion yesterday and thought about what we're talking about today. We really need to be that kind of forensic specialist in an evangelistic context, meaning I fine-tune my powers of observation to the situations around me, to the people, to observe things like what they're wearing or to listen to their story, to hear. So becoming a forensic specialist for Jesus, put that down somewhere, okay? A forensic specialist for Jesus is what we need to be in order to be effective at walking across the room. Okay, fine-tuning the powers of observation. That is what is critical here. Now, some of you have never stepped outside of your comfort zone, your circle of comfort. Some of you have never done this. You've heard me talk about it. You've probably heard other people talk about it. You've been feeling guilty for not doing it. Maybe it's piquing your interest a little bit to say, well, if the entire church is going to be like this, okay, I guess I'll dive in. But it feels like you're diving in the deep end. Don't even get to put my pinkies in the shallow end. Small group, again, let me emphasize it, is where you need to be to learn. Your powers of observation, you need to talk about that. Fine-tune those. Prepare your story. Being prepared is the best thing to lower some of the anxiety. But I want to encourage every one of us here to try it. Okay? We've got some momentum now. The next three, well, today and two more weeks, we can kind of build some momentum here and really start to take some of those steps. Start thinking. You get out of the bed in the morning before your feet hit the ground. You're saying, Lord, today I want to be a walk across the room, Christian, for you. Today, again. Just do that. Do that for this month. I guarantee you're going to see God open up some amazing opportunities. I'll tell you what, if you've never had the opportunity to listen to somebody and begin to have some influence on them for Jesus, or even to be the one who actually ends up helping them take that step of faith across that line, I'll tell you what, I am going to see some fired up folks in here. I can guarantee it. The first time I led someone to Jesus Christ, whew, wow. Wow, what an experience to know you just had a part in God's plan to influence somebody for eternity. You've heard the old Milwaukee expression for years now. It doesn't get any better than this. It doesn't get any better than this. It doesn't. So let's try it. All right, now again, Matt, I don't know where I'm at. Catch up to me here. Let's talk about the next slide. Discerning next steps. Discerning next steps. So 3D, okay, 3D is develop friendships. Let's say that together. Develop friendships. Discover stories. Discern appropriate next steps. Now, as I'm taking this walk, as I engage now in relationship, as I'm listening, discovering the person's story, I need to be listening to the Holy Spirit about where does this go from here? What are the next steps that happen in this relationship? Well, the most important thing we can do, if I forget to come back to this, the most important thing we can do in deciding where this goes from here is listening to the Holy Spirit. I know you're hearing me say that all morning, but it is the foundation of this whole deal. If you're not praying and you're not being guided by the Spirit, all you're going to do is make a mess. So we've got to have that, all right? Now, so you're listening to the person's story, okay? You're begging God, literally, if you have to, beg God. Go, Lord, don't let me miss anything here. Let me hear this person. Let me be a good listener. That's how you just pray for what it is that you need to have happen here. And then God is going to tell you what to say and what to do. Do we have that clip ready to go, Matt? Okay, let's run this. Here's the thing. Bill Hybels is talking about a situation he had, a sailing buddy with his buddy Dave. And here's kind of how this thing unfolded. Go ahead.
I saw something so valuable inside Dave. And I remember just saying to myself, this is going to be a long, slow walk. He's got to see a Christian kind of walk the walk. I never put a time span on it. I just said, this is a guy I'd like to be friends with and let God do whatever God's going to do. I really wanted to make sure that it was God doing the work and me riding in the second position.
Before Regatta, I was preparing my little area on the sailboat, and Bill would come up and just ask me how my week had gone, how Beth was, maybe what had gone on at work. I mean, the conversations never really moved towards faith or Christianity. And it was just so refreshing to me that he was concerned about me as an individual and what was going on in my life.
I think really trying to point someone in the direction of faith is usually the summation of a lot of little inputs along the way. I don't think it's the big three-hour talk where you start with creation and end at the end of the Bible. I don't think it's a great big theological brain dump all at once.
I remember Bill giving me a copy of Case for Christ before it was ever even in print. And so in my travels around the country, on airplanes, I would pull that out and read a few pages. And I really needed that because I was so inquisitive about the science part of it.
Okay. Now, you heard a number of things in there, and if we had time, I'd replay it, but we're kind of getting pressed here. Some next steps. Kind of the framework, as you heard Bill talk about this, is he saw potential. He saw something in Dave. And again, when And Dave picked that up, didn't he? You could hear him talk about that. He felt valued. He wasn't just kind of a checkbox on Bill's evangelistic list. He felt like a person. That's important. He says, Bill was asking me about my wife and about the kids, about my job, just kind of about my life. He was genuinely interested. And again, when you listen, then you hear other things to ask about. The conversation leads you to your next question. But the questions need to be Holy Spirit inspired. And some of it is just as simple as that. Tell me about your wife today or your family or whatever. As you get to know the person, you know the person's names and so forth. Some of it is that. But there are going to be some very unique questions that the Holy Spirit is going to show you to ask. And when you do, you realize that was a God moment right there. Right there. I've had people say to me, after I've asked certain questions the Holy Spirit told me to ask, just look at me like deer in the headlights, like, what? Wow. How did you know? Well, I didn't. God does. He loves you. He cares about you. So be listening, all right? What else? The book. That was really interesting because at the time, when this would have been going on between Bill and Dave, Lee Strobel was ministering at Willow Creek Church. He was writing the case for Christ and the case for faith and so forth while he was at Willow Creek Church. And so Bill had access to this book before it was really even in print. He knew the value of it, but it was the right book. Did you hear how Dave talked about that? He said, I had some questions about kind of the science behind all this. Obviously, probably raised in the public school system, exposed to evolution and things like that. You know, there's this Christianity and evolution can never meet, all these kind of things. So, you know, if you kind of start out over here, you can't be over here. Well, Lee has, you know, been blessed with the genius of being able to kind of pull these things together. And so that was important. That doesn't mean that you go out and buy a case of books and give the same book to everybody, because the same thing doesn't apply to everybody. That's why it's Holy Spirit dependent listening. Listening. The next steps, what's it going to be? Maybe it's a ride to the grocery store. Maybe it's getting somebody to a doctor's office. Maybe it is a book. Maybe it's a DVD. Who knows? We don't know. And we don't have to know now. We just have to be committed to being walk across the room people, regardless of who it is that's across the room, willing to do whatever God says, I want you to do. That's what it takes. I know that's a lot. It's relatively simple, but it's not easy. Lighten up. Get fired up here. It is. It's not easy stuff. I understand that. I just pray that it will become a passion. If it's not right now, that it will be. Every one of us needs to grow. I need to grow in my passion for this too. I do. I do. Especially on the golf course. All right? Okay. Last thing. We're going to wrap up. This week, a new week, a fresh week. Okay, we kind of got our momentum going again. Kind of grab week one, put it with week two. You're going to have to make some decisions this week. You're going to learn about this in your small groups, these kind of these forks in the road. Am I going to choose to be this kind of person? Or am I just going to kind of do my own thing? We have these encounters every day. Those moments of opportunity, decision, choice. Am I going to be God's person or my person? That's really what it boils down to. So this week, what's it going to be? Am I going to commit myself to being God's person, or I just want to kind of run my own life? That's what this week is all about. Small groups, well, actually, I think, Dan Lynn, your group's just getting started, right? So, and I think somebody else's group was getting started this week too. Gene, right? Did you start last night or this Saturday? All right. So again, if anyone is not in a group, small group leaders, get your hands up quickly. Small group leaders, get your hands up. Okay. We've got Saturday afternoon, Tuesday evening, Thursday evening, Wednesday morning, and Tuesday evening. All right. So we have plenty of opportunities. Evenings, a Saturday afternoon, should be plenty of opportunity for everybody to get plugged into this thing, right? 4 weeks, that's all we're asking, 4 weeks. Although, let me just say this, small group leaders, if this takes you 8 weeks or 16 weeks to get through, do it. Okay? Do not stick with the 4 weeks if you need more time. Why? Because this is important. The DNA of this church. We are a multiracial neighborhood church, and part of being a neighborhood church means we're reaching out. We can't do it without this stuff. All right? All right? Okay, we're ready to go home? It's getting hot in here, isn't it? Good answer. Good job. No, I'm not ready to go home. All right. Janie gets a gold star. All right. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there's something very exciting about this, this being a walk across the room Christian. But we realize it's a little intimidating too. Lord, we want to be honest with ourselves and honest with you today and acknowledge that we all have a list in our heads and our hearts of people we don't like. People, truth told, we really don't want to reach out to. Lord, destroy that in us this morning. As we confess it, remove it far from us. And fill us again afresh with your Spirit today. Give us that love and passion for people that would draw every one of us out of our comfort zone. Lord, if our knees are knocking as we walk, we're just going to trust in you for strength. We want to have your heart of love for people, knowing that you hate no one. There's no one person you want to lose. Lord, help us to be effective for your kingdom this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand as we sing our last song together?
Thank you, Pastor David, for those words of testimony. I am fired up. Are you all fired up? You know, I was thinking about one of the things we were talking about yesterday, and being a walk across the room person, you need kind of that cross, that intersect. I was thinking, Gordon knows this really well because Gordon was my partner yesterday. Being a teacher, I really don't get the opportunity to kind of push my religious beliefs or even mention them unless it's asked for me. And a lot of people have asked me what influenced me to be a teacher and who my favorite teacher was. And over the years, I remember telling them different people. And then it dawned on me yesterday, how am I going to make that link to maybe some of my colleagues that are non-believers? And I thought to myself, they asked me who my favorite teacher is. I'll tell them Jesus was my favorite teacher because he taught me how to live my life. And I just think that's very, very important that we have that person that we can make that link or that connection with. And I'm forever grateful for that. I'm forever grateful that he saved me. He's saving the lost. Shall we sing that together?
You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothe yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. And I'm forever grateful to you. And I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. And I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. You did not wait for me to come back to you, but you spread your arms and died a death for me. You did not wait for me to face my fears alone, but you came and held me in your loving arms. And I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. And I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save.
People are me, you. It's not just a category. It's not just something subjective or objective. It's real. Came to seek and save me. Amen. Save you. People that aren't here yet need to know that. Okay? All right. Mabel has loaned us this book for the congregation. Cure for the Common Life, Living in Your Sweet Spot. It's about kind of finding that really cool place that God's kind of put together in you about serving. And this came out of one of our series over a year ago. It's just been circulating. People have been reading this. It's awesome stuff. Who would like to borrow it next? First hand up. Next time, you know to pass it to Jay, right? Excellent. Perfect. That is absolutely great. All right. So, pray for our board today. We're going to be meeting right after this meeting now. We're going to have some lunch together and meet. We've got some major decisions to be making about really the future of ministry in this church and some exciting things that I can't talk to you about yet because decisions have to be finalized. But just be in prayer. We also had to spend $3,000 this week on an air conditioner that was not working back here in the rec center. And we're asking God, where is this coming from? So we need to talk about that as a board, too. So just be in prayer. This is a big week, exciting. And next week, I'll share with you kind of where God is moving with some exciting things for us. So before you take off, please receive this blessing from the Lord. May the love of God so fill you that you want to be a walk across the room Christian. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Communication cards. Ah, I forgot. Please pass those to the middle. We'll collect them. And Mother's Day. Mothers, mothers, mothers. Hang on, mothers. Peggy, could you head to the back and pass out those books, please? Okay, moms, hang on. Peggy's going to hand out a book to you. She's running. Make a hole, make a hole. All right, moms, please see Peggy. And if someone was here and didn't get one, make sure you grab one. We have enough.